Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're coming now towards the end of the church's calendar, the end of the church's year of worship. Next Sunday will be the great feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday in the year before we begin the Advent and Christmas season. And so coming to the end of the year, the Bible readings given to us by the church speak to us about the end of all things, about the future life, the life to come, the judgment. November is, as we know, the month of the Holy Souls. We're thinking about the future life after death and praying especially for our deceased loved ones and all of the faithful departed. And so the readings today speak to us about judgment. Prophet Malachi speaks there'll be a severe judgment for evildoers, for those who die without repenting of grave sins. They will be burned up as stubble, he says. And in the Gospel, our Lord Jesus also warns about a terrible day of judgment at the end. We know that God wants everybody to be saved, but he's given us free will, and we can turn against him and reject God's grace. And so we're encouraged, especially as in November, to think about our eternal life and repent of our sins, pray for our deceased ones, and pray that we be ready for death whenever it may come. And our Lord warns us here also that before the end, there are going to be times of persecution. In fact, right through church history, there has always been some persecutions somewhere or other of Christians. And we're seeing the same thing today in our time. In fact, not long ago, Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, he did some study and he made a shocking announcement that he found out that just in this century, this was about 2 or 3 years ago, I think maybe 13, 14 years, even more now, he said more Christians have been killed for their faith in just this brief part of this new century than in all of the 20th century, the preceding 100 years put together. Even in spite of the fact that there were, of course, two terrible world wars in that time when tens and millions of people were killed. But people killed specifically because they were Christians, there's been more just in this new century than all of the 20th century previous 100 years put together. We're seeing this, of course, at the present time. We're hearing reports of Christians and many Muslims as well, too, being killed by the Islamic State terrorists. We know that in countries like China and North Korea, where there's still communist regimes, that people are suffering for their faith there. So we must pray for them very much. A lot of you here were here just a bit over a week ago when Mr. Eugene Medeszi came, a representative of the government of Hungary. We're celebrating the 60th anniversary of when Cardinal Mindszenty took refuge in the U.S. Embassy in Budapest and began his long resistance there against the regime. But one of the things when Mr. Medeszi spoke in the hall afterwards, one thing that really impressed me in his talk was he said that the Hungarian government today is the first and so far the only European government that has just set up a new office, a new branch of the government, dedicated specifically to watching out for persecuted Christians in the Middle Eastern countries, in the refugees. That's a wonderful example. Let's hope that other European countries follow that example, because we're hearing a lot about victims, the Muslim refugees, and of course, they are suffering too because of this terrible war in Syria. But a lot of people are forgetting about the Christian refugees, and not many of them are being accepted into the Western countries. So we must pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. In this country too, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of tension and hatred. There's been a lot of trouble, particularly as we all know in the last few days after the recent elections. And it's important that we work and strive for peace and reconciliation. We've seen in recent years, even in this supposedly free and democratic country, that the secularizing government has been putting more and more discrimination on Christians, trying to oblige Christian photographers and bakers and florists to provide their services for same-sex weddings, which goes completely against their religious conscience as something that's not right, and they've been fined and losing their jobs because of that discrimination. The government has tried to force businesses and different corporations to pay insurance for immoral procedures that go against their religious convictions, like contraceptives, even abortion-producing medication. And we need to pray that these things, the incoming government has said that they're not going to continue with those policies. We must pray that this is true. Sometimes politicians make promises they don't always keep, right? We have to pray very much that there will be a real change. And also for a change in reconciliation between the races. There's been a lot of violence. And I think it's appropriate for me to say this just at this time, in the interests of trying to, let's say, pour some water on the fires of anger that we've been seeing lately. There's been a great deal of false propaganda in the media for months and months against the man who has been elected president. It's been said again and again and again that he is a racist, that he's against black people. You know, that is completely false. He's not. You look at his record, the people who are saying that, they can't find a single example in 20, 30 years of his public life where he has done something against blacks, African Americans. It's a lot of calumny and lies. In fact, if you look at his record, he was one of the first to really go out to help black people down in his big resort in Palm Beach, Florida. A lot of those very big wealthy white people had country clubs and resorts, and most of them were not allowing blacks or Jews to become members. Mr. Trump was the first one to allow blacks and Jews to become members of his club, and some of the other white people didn't like that, but he gave them a good example, he pushed, and now all of those clubs, thanks be to God, they are not discriminating, but he was leading the way in that. And if you look at all, I saw an old video about 20 years ago when he was a guest on the Oprah Winfrey, you know, she's the most respected black lady in this country, I think. And he was an honored guest on her program. She would never have had him on a program if she thought he was a racist, no? And so let's be a little encouraged and think that there's some false propaganda out there. And it's not true that we're going to have a president who is a racist against black people. Maybe some racists have been supporting him. That's unfortunate. But if you look at his own record, it's not true. So let's try to pray and work for reconciliation at this time. There's a lot of tension. And let's pray that we'll have working together. The second reading today speaks, St. Paul speaks about work and the importance of working. He was writing at a time when there was plenty of work for everybody, plenty of jobs. And so he was complaining about the people who didn't want to work. And he said, well, if you don't want to work, you shouldn't eat either. Well, now we have the different problem. Why? We have not enough jobs. And we have the incoming president has said he's made a big part of his platform to help get more jobs for working people. So let's pray that he really does that and pray that he works with the Democrats in Congress and so on. I pray that they find a common ground for working together to help the poor people in this country get better jobs, and pray that our country comes together and heals again after this time when we've seen so much division and anger. Let's pray that God gives us peace in our land and harmony between people of all races. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.